Welcome to Missionary Echoes, an outreach ministry of the Lebanon God's Missionary Church. I'm Pastor Joel, and it's so good to have you join us today.
Dare to run with our eyes fixed on Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of His Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run. We must have our Savior's vision, compassion for the lost, courage for the future, love at any cost. Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of His Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run.
A couple of weeks ago, we enjoyed the ministry of Dwayne and Valerie Quesenberry, as is shared in a week-long fall revival effort. God met with us in a special way in multiple services, and I'd really love to share all the messages with you, our radio audience. But that doesn't seem very practical. So today I'm going to air the Sunday morning sermon that Reverend Quesenberry preached on November 2nd. Here today is Reverend Dwayne Quesenberry with a sermon on the four altars that Abraham built.
Good morning, church. Take your Bibles and go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And as you're making your way there, let me read a couple of scriptures to you. One in James chapter 2, verse 23, which says this, "And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it, that belief in God, was accounted to him for righteousness, and I like this, he was called the friend of God." I'd like to be the friend of God, wouldn't you? I'd like for God to consider me His friend. Well, good news. Jesus said in John chapter 15 and verse 14, "You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." You can be a friend of God. Amen. That ought to bless your heart. You can be a friend with God. You see, from start to finish, the success of my relationship with God rises and falls on my willingness to repeatedly step out of my comfort zone into the trust zone of a relationship with a loving God. Our Bibles are open to Hebrews chapter 11, sometimes called the Saints Hall of Fame or the Faith chapter. We're going to start at verse 6. The Bible says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Verse 8, "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he, Abraham, waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged God faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, that's Abraham, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore." Did anybody catch it? The final record, the latest, last edition of Abraham's life. The way God chooses to remember Abraham, his friend, is that he is a man of faith. Hebrews 11 account. Verse 8 says, by faith Abraham obeyed God when he was called. He left and he moved out and he went to Canaan. However, the first time I read that narrative was in Genesis. Genesis chapter 11. And it's a little bit different than the Hebrews 11 account. There seems to be some details missing in the Hebrews 11 account. Hebrews 11 says, by faith Abraham obeyed. But Genesis 11:31 says, they left Ur, they went from Ur of the Chaldees, and they came to go into the land of Canaan, but they came unto Haran, and they dwelt there. Actually, the word dwelt means they lived there, or you might could say they settled there. God had said, I want you to go to a land that I will show you. They left their homeland in Ur, and they got to Haran, probably the next major metropolis that they came to after leaving Ur, and the Bible says they settled there. I don't know how it happened. I don't know what happened, but somehow or another, somebody said, could we stay another night? Could we stay another night? Could we stay another week? Could we stay another month? And they settled. They lived. They dwelt in Haran. That's not where God wanted Abraham to go. And I don't know why exactly, but I will tell you, anytime I disobey God, it's because there's a breakdown in my trust of God. Somewhere along the way, there's a faith dysfunction that leads to disobedience. They settled there. But you don't read that in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. No, Hebrews 11, verse 9 says, by faith Abraham sojourned, or he dwelt in the land of promise. This last issue of Abraham's biography reads as if Abraham, once he arrived in Canaan, he just lived there. He stayed there, living by faith. How did it say it? Living in the land of promise while waiting for the city of heaven. There's no mention here in Hebrews of a famine when he got to Canaan. Remember that from Genesis? There's no mention here in Hebrews 11 of a fearful trip to Egypt. There's no mention here of false tales when he arrives in Egypt about his wife, saying, please say you're my sister because you're beautiful. That's why I chose you. But if they know you're my wife, they're probably going to kill me. So say you're my wife. Is that faith? Is it faith to leave where God's brought you when a famine arises and to go to Egypt because you don't think God can take care of you in Canaan? But the Hebrews 11:9 passage says he just lived there in the land of promise. Hebrews 11:11 says, through faith, Sarah believed God for a child. Verse 11 here portrays Abraham and Sarah as this childless couple who always wanted kids and couldn't have any. Still, they were confident, trusting God. God knows best. It states, she judged God faithful who had promised. I just want to ask, is it judging God faithful to give your servant girl to your husband in hopes that she can have a child with your husband because you can't? Is it judging God? Is it faithful? When you read verse 12, you can almost get the idea that as Abraham and Sarah pulled into their new home in the land of Canaan, that they stopped off at Baby Supermart and registered for the baby shower because Sarah was starting to show. There's no mention here in Hebrews 11 that it was 25 years after the promise that Isaac is born. Hebrews 11 doesn't record the doubts, the fears, the despair of 25 long years of waiting for a son. It's not mentioned in Hebrews 11. So, what's the takeaway? What's the takeaway from the seeming omissions of the Hebrews 11 tribute to Abraham when compared with the full biography in the Genesis record? Well, I think it's this. As I respond with faith and obedience to God, He remembers me not as I used to be, but forgiving my past failures and empowering me to grow in Him, God writes me down as I now am faithful. That ought to encourage you this morning. That ought to bless you. Because I'm going to guess that most of us here today have some moments in our biography that we wish weren't included in the book. Thank God, if he's helped us, he's not remembering how we were. He remembers us as we are by his grace. So Hebrews 11 is not a glossing over as much as it is a gracing over. Hallelujah. God doesn't define our life by the missteps along the journey. Rather, he sees the bigger picture of where we started, and he celebrates the triumph of his grace that is at work in us, getting us to where we now are. He doesn't see us as we were. He sees us as we are. And you may be thinking, well, that's wonderful for Abraham and Sarah. They clearly became people of great faith, but what about me? I'm certainly not ready for induction into the Hebrews 11 Saints Hall of Fame, you might be thinking. So how do I get there? How does this happen for me? How can I get to where they are? Well, it happens for you and me as it did for them through the process of faith and obedience in 1,001 life encounters over the course of my life. It's how it was for them. It's how it is for us. Remember what I said to you at the beginning? From start to finish, the success of our relationship with God rises and falls on our willingness to repeatedly step out of our comfort zone into the trust zone of a loving relationship with God. That's how we succeed. In Genesis 12, 7, we read these words. Actually, let me back up. That is a process. It's a process. And processes generally start with a crisis. And crises find direction at altars. At altars. In verse 7 of Genesis 12, we read these words. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants, I will give this land. This is after he gets in the land of Canaan. And there, Abraham built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. This is the first altar that Abraham builds. In the pivotal moments of Abraham's life, remember, he built altars to God. Four separate and distinct altars in Abraham's life, each of which were built and utilized at critical points in his life. And this morning, I want to observe the significance in his life of those altars, but also in ours, of as we build altars, we become the friend of God. And I'm hopeful that we will connect our stories to Abraham's story. And before we leave this morning, we ourselves will build an altar to God. Let me give you, before we get into that, though, three statements about the significance of altars. First of all, altars symbolize connecting or saying something to God. Altars symbolize connecting to God. In the Old Testament, altars were places where the divine and human worlds interacted. Altars were places of exchange, of communication and influence. God in the Old Testament responded to altar activity. Secondly, altars symbolize consecrating or giving something to God. Building an altar means implementing the necessary steps of making an offering to God. That's what altars are for. It is to make an offering, to give a presentation of something that I bring and I offer it to God. So altars symbolize connecting with God or saying something to God, but altars also symbolize consecrating or giving something to God. And thirdly, altars symbolize changing or being transformed by God. When I erect an altar, I meet with God. I submit to God. But it's also there at that altar that God is supernaturally transforming me, as we will observe in the story of Abraham's life. So let's begin at Genesis chapter 12. If you would care to turn there, we're going to go through some of these stories, and you might find it helpful to look at the narrative. Genesis chapter 12. While Abraham is living in Haran, God comes to him again, because he had settled there, and God reissues the call to go to a land that I will show you, chapter 12, verse 1. And Abraham, verse 5, he departs and he goes to the land of Canaan, and they come to live in the land of Canaan. Canaan is synonymous, you should think, of living in a land of promise. It's the place you move to by faith. All of us should be living in a symbolic Canaan today. We should be living where God has wanted us to go to, and we should be living there because we took steps of faith and obedience to get there from where we were to where God wants us. Abraham is living there. It's the place you move by faith. It's true for Abraham here. It's true for his offspring later. The nation of Israel lived in the land of promise. It symbolizes the place God wants us to move. And when he arrives in Canaan at a place called Shechem, look at verse 7, chapter 12, it says, "There Abraham built an altar to the Lord, and he called on the name of the Lord." The first altar Abraham built is after he concludes his journey from Haran to Canaan. And here he builds his first altar, and we read this phrase for the first time, "Abraham called on the name of the Lord." He built an altar when he gets there, and he called on the name of the Lord. So let's call this altar an altar of reaching for God. An altar of reaching for God. Can I ask you this morning, have you ever built an altar where you intentionally reached for God? Where you called on God. You prayed out to God. Is there a definite place? Is there a time in your life that you built an altar and reached out to God? Perhaps you are living in Ur this morning. You started for where God wanted you to be in Canaan. And you left Haran, but you got to Ur, and you said, "I don't know that I really want to go all the way to where God wants me." And you've settled in a place that's not where God wants you to be. Perhaps you're living in Haran tonight. Maybe Haran is where you've stopped. But Abraham leaves Haran, and he gets to Canaan, and there the Bible says he calls on the Lord there. He builds an altar where he reaches for God. It's a new place. It's a new way to live. It's a new environment. It's a new situation. And some of you today need to hear God's call and step out of your comfort zone into the trusting zone of saying, "God, I don't know what it's going to look like for me to live as a Christian. I don't know what it's going to be like for me to trade my old life for the new life, but I'm going to move to Canaan, and I'm this morning going to build an altar where I reach out for you, where I call out to you, and I say, 'God, forgive me for the way I've lived. I'm sorry for the mess I've made of my life, but I want to live in this new land that you're bringing me into.' And if you will, he will." And you can do that this morning at the end of this service. Abraham gets to Canaan and builds an altar of reaching for God. But unfortunately, as I've already said, Abraham didn't remain in Canaan. Shortly after he gets there, there's a famine. And I think Abraham's fear, really causes him to make a bad decision. We eventually find him down in Egypt because they have food and Canaan doesn't. I will tell you, where God leads you, he will provide for you. What's the old song? Where God guides, God provides. He may not provide when you want him to, as you want him to, but if he's brought you there, he will not abandon you there. You stay there. Don't take matters into your own hands and go down to some place like Egypt where you're clearly doubting God and you've taken matters into your own hands and you're denying relationships and you're saying, "This is really not my wife, she's my sister," and you get there and you get into trouble. I don't have time to go into a lot of detail this morning, but if you would study the life of Abraham, It is in Egypt, this little detour down to Egypt, where he gets into all kinds of trouble. It creates some tension in his marriage relationship with his wife. It's where he gets the servant girl, Hagar. It's where he gets, when the Pharaoh says, you've lied to me, you said this woman is your sister, and she's not, she's clearly your wife, because I seen you hugging her, and you didn't hug her like it was your sister. And so you need to get out of here. And when Abraham sends him out, or when Pharaoh sends Abraham out, he sends him out with a lot of flocks and herds. He gives him gifts to send him out. And it's when he gets back to the land of Canaan that those same flocks and herds that he got in Egypt create tension between him and his nephew Lot, and they have to separate. And there's a rippling effect of this moment of doubting and disobeying. I will tell you, don't take little detours of doubting God and taking matters into your own hands. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about this morning, but Abraham does it. And God, through protective grace, gets Abraham out of Egypt. And in the early verses of chapter 13, we read Abraham leaves Egypt and all that that represented. And he came back, it says, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning in Canaan, a place between Bethel and Ai. And here it says, Abraham calls on God, listen, at the same altar which he had built previously before he left and went to Egypt. He first built this altar in chapter 12, verse 8, when he had first arrived in Canaan. But after returning from a faithless trek to Egypt, he comes back to the same altar, the same place where Abraham had built the altar. And the Bible says there he worshiped the Lord again. Likely, there were some repairs that needed to be made. Would you not agree? The altar had been abandoned. It had been neglected. But when Abraham leaves Egypt, a place of doubt and disobedience, and he comes back to Canaan, a place of faith and obedience, he comes right back to this altar, and he doesn't build the altar again. He kind of rebuilds, he kind of repairs the altar, and here he calls on God. Let's call this altar now the altar of returning to God. He first built this altar and he reached for God, but then he left God. And now he comes back. And listen, if you go away from God, you'll have to come back to where you were. Amen. And when you get there, you'll call on God. You'll find he's there. He's faithful. He's waiting for you. But you'll need to build an altar of returning to God. I find it interesting. I don't know that. I think sometimes we preachers get a little in the weeds about names and definitions of names and what names mean, but I don't know. I'm just going to throw it out there. The location of this altar was between Bethel, which means the house of God, and Ai, which means the house of ruin. That's kind of where Abraham's been. He was with God, where God wanted him to be in Canaan. Then he goes down to Egypt, which was a place of ruin and destruction for him. And now he comes back and he builds an altar of returning to God. I don't ever want to preach where I'm just up here hollering at people. I know sometimes it seems like that, but the old clock's not my friend today, and I got to hurry. But I'm going to slow down just long enough to say, sir, are you living where God wants you to be today? If you and I could go to a coffee shop here and have a cup of coffee, and I could look across the table and say, as your friend, I just want to ask you, are you living right now, this Sunday morning, are you living where God wants you to be? What about it, ma'am? Have you known better days in your relationship with God? Are you where God has called you to right now? This morning, you also, as others maybe come to build an altar of reaching for God, you can come back and repair that altar where you first reached for God, and you can build an altar, and you can call out to God in an altar of returning to God again. If you will, he will, I promise you. And you will be so glad. Are you tired of living defeated and miserable and fearful of eternity? Aren't you tired of the frustration and the anger in your life of knowing you're not who you ought to be? I will tell you this morning that by his grace, he will forgive you, restore you, renew you. You can build an altar of returning to God today.
The crowd was great. but she knew she had to reach him, for this was her last hope of ever being healed. So she pressed through until she touched his garment. Right then and there, her miracle was fulfilled. There's a miracle in the making, one just for you. Prayers have been heard, and the answer's on the way. There's a miracle in the making for you today. Have you prayed and prayed, but still you've heard no answer? And you feel you're all alone. Don't give up, for the God we serve won't leave you. There's a miracle for you, just keep holding on. There's a miracle just for you. The Father is working even now. Your prayers have been heard, and the answer's on the way. There's a miracle in the making for you today. Your prayers have
You've been listening to a sermon that was preached by Reverend Dwayne Questenberry during a revival service on November 2nd at the God's Missionary Church in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. Now, I hope you can join us next week for the second half of this message. If this sermon this morning spoke to your heart and you'd like to talk with someone about where you are with God, give us a call at 717-273-3690 or send us an email at lebgmc@gmail.com. We'd be happy to talk with you on the phone or schedule a time and we could sit down and meet with you in person. We would love to have you join us on this Thanksgiving Sunday at 2127 Hill Street in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. Sunday school begins at 9:30, worship at 10:30, and then this afternoon we will have a special Thanksgiving service at 2:30 p.m. There will be special music and many different things in the schedule to make this a special time of praise to the Lord. This means we will not have an evening service at a regular time of 6 o'clock p.m. Again, special Thanksgiving service at 2:30 this afternoon and no evening service at 6 o'clock tonight. Also, our prayer and praise service this week will be on Tuesday night at 7 o'clock p.m. We would love to see you, but if you can't join us in person, you can always watch the services live at lebanongmc.com. I trust that you will join us again next week for Missionary Echoes. I'm Pastor Joel, wishing you our Lord's blessing and a very happy Thanksgiving.